Magdalena Frida Kahlo's existence transcended ordinary human experience. Her art, fewer than 150 paintings, continues to captivate us not because of technical virtuosity, but because each brushstroke emerged from lived suffering. When that wooden bus collided with a streetcar in 1925, Frida wasn't merely injured, she was transfigured. A metal handrail pierced her body as the sword pierces the bull, fracturing her spine, pelvis, and ribs while destroying her dreams of becoming a doctor. Witnesses described a macabre tableau, her broken body covered in gold powder carried by another passenger, a bloodied, golden girl amid the wreckage. This image perfectly captures Frida's essence, pain transformed into something precious and gleaming. What makes her work revolutionary is how she refused sentimentality while depicting her suffering with unflinching honesty. Her penetrating self-portraits invite us into her intimate world while simultaneously challenging us to confront our own vulnerabilities. Would we recognize her name today had she lived a conventional life? History's cruel irony is that the accident that nearly killed her ultimately gave birth to the artist we revere. Born in 1907 Mexico, though she claimed 1910 to align with the revolution, Frida grew up amid political upheaval, with her mother secretly sheltering Zapatista fighters. Her father's German heritage, photography work, and the family's progressive values shaped her unconventional upbringing. At the National Preparatory School, she joined the Cachuchas, a group of intellectual rebels, where she first glimpsed her future husband, Diego Rivera, painting the auditorium. After a devastating accident left her bedridden, Frida began painting from her bed using a special easel and overhead mirror. "I paint myself because I am often alone," she said, "and I am the subject I know best." This period of isolation forged her unique artistic voice, combining clinical detachment with raw emotional vulnerability. "I suffered two grave accidents in my life, one in which a streetcar knocked me down. The other accident is Diego." This observation captures Frida's complex relationship with muralist Diego Rivera, whom she married in 1929 when she was 22 and he was 42. Their physical contrast, he over 6 feet and 300 pounds, she petite, prompted her father to dub them the elephant and the dove. He was boisterous and public, she intense and introspective. Their relationship defied convention. Both had affairs, Diego's with Frida's sister Christina being particularly painful, yet their bond endured through shared artistic vision and political beliefs. They divorced in 1939, remarried a year later, and maintained separate but connected houses in Mexico City. "No one will ever know how much I love Diego," Frida wrote. "I don't want anything to hurt him." This complex love infused Frida's art. The two Fridas, 1939, painted during their divorce, shows her twice, one in European dress with a broken heart, the other in Mexican attire with an intact heart, connected by a blood vessel symbolizing their enduring bond. Their relationship challenges conventional notions of love, suggesting some connections transcend ordinary categories. Pain defined Frida's existence. She endured over 30 surgeries, including toe and leg amputations, wore painted plaster corsets, and battled chronic infections. "My painting carries with it the message of pain," she said, transforming her suffering into powerful art. In The Broken Column, 1944, she depicts herself split open, her spine a crumbling column, body bound by corsets and pierced by nails. Despite her tears, her gaze remains dignified. The Little Deer, 1946, shows her head on a stag's body pierced by arrows, blending medical trauma with mythic symbolism. During hospital stays, she created some of her finest work. When pain limited her fine motor control, she adapted to broader strokes and simpler compositions. Through art, Frida claimed agency over her failing body, controlling its narrative rather than being reduced to a passive patient. "Feet, what do I need them for if I have wings to fly?" she wrote, finding transcendence within physical limitation. Frida developed her artistic identity within Mexico's post-revolutionary cultural renaissance, which celebrated indigenous traditions over European colonial influence. She embraced this nationalism fervently, adopting Tijuana dress from Oaxaca and sometimes claiming indigenous heritage for her mother. Her choice of traditional clothing was both political and aesthetic, rejecting European beauty standards and asserting pre-Columbian Mexican identity, particularly during her time in the United States. As committed communists, Frida and Diego took significant risks, including hosting Leon Trotsky during his exile. Her painting, Marxism Will Give Health to the Sick, directly linked political ideology with personal healing. However, Frida's politics weren't rigid. Her communism merged with elements of Catholicism, pre-Columbian religions, and Mexican folk traditions, evident in her use of ex-voto painting formats. Frida also challenged contemporary gender and sexual norms through her relationships with both men and women and her self-presentation. In several self-portraits, she depicted herself with masculine attributes, expressing a gender fluidity that was revolutionary for 1940s Mexico and remains relevant today. Frida's paintings are rich with symbolic elements that transform personal experiences into universal themes. Her animal motifs, monkeys representing unrealized motherhood, hummingbirds as hope, wounded deer as vulnerability, combine with meaningful plant imagery, where roots connect to heritage and thorns symbolize suffering. Her color choices directly express emotional states: reds for vitality and blood, yellows for illness, and deep blues for emotional depth. Her backgrounds alternate between vibrant Mexican landscapes and barren spaces, reflecting her psychological state. Pre-Columbian and Catholic influences merge in her work. She incorporates Aztec concepts of duality and deities, while also drawing on Christian imagery of martyred saints and thorns. The love embrace of the universe exemplifies this fusion, depicting her as both earth goddess and mortal being. Medical imagery features prominently, with unflinching depictions of anatomy and medical devices. Henry Ford Hospital powerfully illustrates this through its portrayal of her miscarriage, connecting her to symbols of lost fertility through red ribbons. Her signature technique of doubling and splitting, seen in works like The Two Fridas, visualizes her experience of fragmentation, reflecting both personal struggles and broader cultural dualities between Mexican and European identities, tradition, and modernity. As Frida's health declined in the early 1950s, her paintings reflected both physical deterioration and spiritual transcendence, with looser brushwork but maintained emotional power. For her 1953 Mexico City exhibition, she turned limitation into spectacle by greeting guests from her four-poster bed, delivered to the gallery after arriving by ambulance. When gangrene led to the amputation of her right leg, her depression emerged in diary drawings of disembodied legs, yet she persisted in painting. Her final work, Viva la Vida, Watermelons, 1954, shows ripe watermelons with Viva la Vida, Long Live Life, inscribed, a defiant celebration of life facing death. Frida died July 13, 1954, from pulmonary embolism. Her last diary entry reads, "I hope the exit is joyful, and I hope never to return." Her legacy lives on through her fusion of art and life, transformation of personal suffering into universal meaning, and pioneering visual language for marginalized experiences. Her raw authenticity remains revolutionary in today's era of curated personas.